What's going on, people? It's Aaron Boogie, you already know. Instagram after the whistle, and it is the AB Show. We're going to get it underway, you already know. We're going to talk about some things, man. We're going to talk about WWE, NHL, NBA, NFL. We're going to talk about it all, people. Rumors, MLB, the World Series, you know. We're going to talk about the NFL trades, NBA scores, NHL scores. You're going to hear it all. You will hear it all today. It's going to be a pretty good show. So happy Halloween while you're getting your candy. You can listen to the AB Show. Have a stomach full of candy and be entertained. Let's talk about WWE Evolution. The first ever women's pay-per-view. So we had Trish Stratus and Lita versus Mickie James and Alicia Fox. An injury to Alexa Bliss, sorry, relegated her to ringside duties after cutting a pre-match promo. The match which provided plenty of nostalgic moments for the very vocal and energetic crowd. Built towards a hot tag to Stratus, who rekindled the fires of her legendary rivalry with James. The finish, however, was unavoidably sloppy as Trish hit James with Stratisfaction, but Fox was noticeably late running in to break up the pin. Not only was James on camera yelling for Fox to get there, the referee purposely held up the hand to avoid counting James out as Fox dove in. Lita hit Fox with a twist of fate before landing a lead assault on both heels. James followed with a chick kick on James for the one, the two, and the three. Wow, the ending was terrible. Even though I'm happy for these two legends to get the win, pick up the win, the ending was very terrible, people. Tell you that it would have never happened if we had Alexa Bliss in that match. But sadly, she had gotten injured. So, yeah. Okay. Nia Jax wins the 20-woman Battle Royal. Was started somewhat slow and sloppy in order to give time to many legends taking part, turned into a great piece of business down the stretch, as WWE women of today were given a strong spotlight to shine. The booking was strong as Jax stood tall in the end following fun standoffs against both Tamina Snuka and Ember Moon. After her victory, Jax was emotional amid a series of "You Deserve It" chants from the crowd. She wished luck to Ronda Rousey and Nikki Bella in their title match in the night, but she said, Her entire focus is the Raw Women's Championship. Oh, man. Okay. Nia Jax won it. I actually had Ember Moon winning it. I actually had her winning it. But having Nia Jax win it, it's not bad. I don't see it bad. I see it as an opportunity for Nia Jax. And who knows, WWE might give her the championship. I wouldn't be surprised. So, yeah, people. Toni Storm defeated Io Shirai via pinfall to win the 2018 Mae Young Classic. Credit WWE for giving the future of its women division such a large platform. As strong and Shirai, both seemingly intent on stealing the show, nearly did just that. The only criticism is that they weren't given enough time to showcase even more of their incredible talent. Storm, the 23-year-old native of Australia, and the 28-year-old Shirai, already a star in Japan, were lacking nothing in terms of intensity, stiff offense, and high-flying spots. The athletic Shirai hit a springboard dropkick to knock Storm off the top rope before landing a breathtaking moonsault onto the floor to pop the crowd. Shirai later paid homage to her hero, Rey Mysterio Jr., with a 619 before landing a springboard sunset flip that nearly won her the match. The finish came after Sharari's Asai Muso landed on Storm's knees. Storm then followed with her second Storm hero of the match, this time securing the 1-2-3. Both wrestlers hugged afterwards in an emotional scene as they were presented with flowers by Stephanie McMahon and head NXT women's trainer Sierra Amato. Triple H was also on hand to present the Mae Young Classic Trophy. I did have Toni Storm to win the 2008 Mae Young Classic. I did have her to win that. So, and you know, it was a pretty exciting match between both women. So it was good. It was good. Either winner I would have been satisfied with. Natalia Bailey and Sasha Banks defeated the Riot Squad. The storyline regarding the often rocky friendship between Banks and Bailey remained a common theme throughout this high energy match. An early pin attempt by Bailey on Ruby Riott after a backstabber belly-to-belly suplex combo was broken up when Liv Morgan shoved Banks on top of Bailey. Later in the match, Bailey proved willing to sacrifice her body for her teammate later on by laying on top of Banks in order to observe the impact of a Riott splash off the top rope. Natalia paid homage to her late father, Jim the Anvil Neidhart, early by teaming with Banks for a heart attack. Later on, she attempted a double sharpshooter on Riott and Kim B and Sarah Logan. The finish saw Bailey and Banks reiterate just how in sync they really can be. After Natalia hit Riott with a powerbomb, again paying homage to her father, Bailey hit her with an elbow drop, homage to Macho Man Randy Savage. Before taking out the remaining Riott Squad members with a suicide dive, Banks then followed with a frog splash off the top rope to honor her idol, Eddie Guerrero, and get the 1-2-3. I felt like this was more like, it was pretty good match, I would not lie. But it definitely felt like they were paying homage to Natalia's father, the great Eddie Guerrero, the great Macho Man Randy Savage. So that was interesting. I actually liked it though. I liked it. The NXT Women's Championship was on the line. Shayna Baszler defeated Kairi Sane to win back the NXT Women's Championship. Baszler, the former MMA's women's pioneer, became NXT's first two-time women's champion as WWE took a major step in the formation of MMA's four horsewomen, Jessamyn Duke and Marina Shafir. Former training partners of Baszler and Ronda Rousey in UFC recently signed with WWE deals and played a big role in the finish of the match. Thanks to their strategic placement in the front row of the crowd. Baszler, who lost to Zayn in the finals of the 2017 Mae Young Classic and lost her NXT title over SummerSlam weekend, relied on the assistance of her friends as the entertaining feud added another fun chapter. After Zayn hit a splash off the top rope and onto the floor, she backflipped Baszler onto Duke and Shafir in the crowd. Wow, the cloud. Come on. Duke pulled Zayn's hair and ate a spinning back fist. Shortly after, Shafir ate a spinning back fist of her own after climbing the top apron to distract Zayn and prevent her elbow drop finisher. Distraction led to a choke attempt from Baszler that was countered with a pin attempt by Zayn for two. But with the referee's back turn, Duke landed a cheap shot which sent Zayn into a second Kirifuda clutch attempt. Zayn passed out to lose via technical submission. WWE, using the showcase of Evolution to form together Baszler and her friends, could mean a Rousey heel turn won't be far off. And you know what? I like it. I don't only like it, I love it. A lot of fans weren't happy about this, but I'm feeling it, people. I am feeling it. To be honest, right now. Let's do it. WWE, pull the plug on the Four Horsewomen versus Four Horsewomen thing. But have it for WrestleMania, have it no sooner. And I say, you know what, I'd go for it too. I'm not used to this whole nice Ronda Rousey thing. And UFC, Ronda Rousey, Ronda Rousey had balls. So I say WWE, pull the plug, make Ronda Rousey heel. And trust me, WWE fans will love her a whole lot more. SmackDown Women's Championship was on the line. This was the best match of the night. We had Becky Lynch defend and win the SmackDown Women's Championship against Charlotte Flair in the first ever last woman standing match. It was a hell of a match, I tell you that. Between both women, no matter what you think about Charlotte or Becky, they both did what they had to do. Let's talk about it. Brutal, violent, and nearly perfect in what has already been a memorable feud between two of the WWE's most important members of its current women's revolution. Former best friends Lynch and Flair took things to an entirely new level. The duo set new standards in terms of high spots, physicality, and outright carnage for a main roster's women's match. And that is undoubtedly in the conversation for best WWE match of 2018, regardless of gender. And the first women's match of its kind in WWE main roster history, Asuka and Nikki Cross put forth an NXT version that was nearly as good in 2017. The match was a car wreck of epic proportions for all the right reasons. Lynch escalated matters early with a candlestick attack soon. Both wrestlers filled the ring with chairs and a ladder and hit particularly stiff slams onto both. Flair then applied a creative figure eight leg lock using the ladder to help wear Lynch down and force a tap. That wasn't recognized due to the match's stipulation. Flair went on to hit a moonsault onto the table that never broke, so she went back to the well and hit a swanton bomb off the top rope that shattered both Lynch and the table. Things then escalated considerably on the floor. Lynch landed a leg drop through the German announce table from a ladder high above. After Flair definitely screamed, "That's all you got," Lynch buried her under multiple types of chairs and a table, only for Flair to power out and barely beat the count of 10. The finish came when Lynch intercepted Flair's moonsault attempt and powerbombed her from the top rope through a table on the floor. Flair attempted to beat the count, but collapsed to her knees at 10 to end the match. Like I said, people, this was the best match of the night. They gave it their all. We already know it's going to be Ronda Rousey versus Becky Lynch at Survivor Series. Not a lot of people are being are happy about it, but hey, I love it, to be honest. Ronda Rousey versus Becky Lynch at Survivor Series, people? Come on. Come on, people. Trust me, that's going to be a hell of a match. And people are like, oh, Rousey's going to win. People, you are wrong. Rousey will not win that match. The person that will win that match will be Becky Lynch, because Becky Lynch is the face of the women's division. I'm saying it. Since day one, Becky Lynch has proved and will keep on proving she is the face of the women's division, people. Believe it. Raw Women's Championship was on the line. We have Ronda Rousey versus Nikki Bella. Ronda Rousey won via submission to retain the title with a co-main event so good it left you wondering whether WWE made the wrong move in putting Lynch and Flair on last. The main event competitors were left with an almost impossible task of, can you top this? They nearly got there at the very least. Rousey and Nikki, with a strong supporting performance from twin sister Brie at ringside, put forth likely the best match they were capable of and one that had intensity and good storytelling. Rousey delivered plenty of payback throughout for the Bellas. Having turned on her in recent months, and was forced to fight off Bree's constant distractions. Yet not only has Rousey created a reputation throughout her short time in WWE as someone who can elevate her game to an even higher level on the brightest stage, the reason this match was so good was because Bella essentially did the same. Considering the foundational storyline of what made the build so good was that it paired the standout wrestler of WWE Women's Past against the dominant and athletic force of the Revolution era. Both did well to represent their specific sides. Like I said, people, I really was feeling it. This match, I was feeling it, but not as much as the Charlotte and Becky Lynch. Talking about it gets me excited. People, it was amazing. It was amazing. I don't care what anybody says. There's no doubt in my mind. Becky Lynch is the face of the WWE. It's definitely not Ronda Rousey. Not to take anything away from Ronda Rousey, but people, come on. You're going to tell me that you don't think that Becky Lynch, after this heel turn has done her great, Becky Lynch is a whole new person now. And, hey, I love it. I'm not going to lie. I love this, the heel turn WWE did with Becky Lynch, to be honest. I really do. It's probably the best thing WWE has done so far, people. So far. So, if you've been on my Instagram, you see I posted Monday. I was excited for Raw, people. I'm like, oh my goodness, it's going to be great. Blah, blah, blah. Just watch. You know, you guys seen it. I posted it on Instagram. I was talking about it. And WWE, once again, lets me down. WWE, people, let me down once again. They did it again. I'm disappointed. Some people are probably like right now, like, oh, but, you know, you should know this. This is WWE. You're right. I should know. Because it is WWE, but you have a full card. You have the only thing I really loved about it, about Raw, the setup they did to Taker and Kane. And we also had the Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins segment. Yeah, they didn't fight, but that was a hell of a segment, people. I'm not going to lie. Hell of a segment. Only thing bothered me, we didn't get to hear what's going to happen with the Raw titles. And last night, I was going crazy. I was searching online. Could not find nothing about what will happen to the Raw tag titles. I know we had that match, though. There was a match on Raw. It was a triple threat tag match. But I don't think people are like, oh, AOP, whatever. You don't give it to them yet. Nothing against AOP. Don't get me wrong, people. Nothing at all against AOP. AOP is a hell of a tag team. Now they got Drake Maverick. They're stronger. But I don't know. I really... Now, I'm not saying they don't have potential. Because they indeed have a whole lot of potential. I don't know. I mean, if it's the time to do it, you do it. But you wait till like WrestleMania. You could do it. Maybe even before Royal Rumble, I say you do it. So, I mean, right now on Raw, SmackDown, they have a whole hell of good tag teams. Like the Good Brothers over there, they haven't won them yet. And I would love to see them. I was one that was like, I want to see the Bar win them. The Bar won them. They ended up winning them. The Bar became champs. Well, right now they're SmackDown tag. They're SmackDown Live champs. But I would love to see these people win it. Gallows and Anderson. I would love to see them hold the tag team titles. To be honest. But the only real tag team that's like legitimate, it's not like a joke right now in WWE would be AOP. I would have to look over the roster again because I could be wrong. There could be some potential in there, but to be honest, that's really the only like tag team I would be able to take serious. Oh, but it's not in the Revival. But I don't know what WWE's thinking. If that would be a team I'd be like, okay, you gotta have them as champions. You know what I mean? But people, when you got what's his name? Tag team like Drew McIntyre and Ziggler, they're another tag team. But it's just like WWE, I don't know. You know, we had Ziggler, McIntyre as champs. We had who else? Who else was champions? The B team. Oh man, I did not like them as champs. Don't get me wrong. I wanted them to win, but I felt like the reign was too long when they defended it against the Revival. I feel like WWE should have gave it to the Revival. And then after you give it to the Revival, you give it to Drew McIntyre and, what's his name? Drew McIntyre and, Dolph Ziggler. And, you know, the Seth Rollins and Ambrose. I get it, but then I don't get it. I don't know if you guys understand that. Like, I get it, but then, like, I don't get it, people. Because, to be honest, what are you doing, WWE? You give them, unless you're going to have, they could face each other, and the winner gets the tag titles, then he has to get a partner, you know what I mean? So, I don't know. I guess WWE knows what they're doing, right? I'm guessing. I don't want to say yeah, but I'd be wrong, you know? It just frustrates me, people. Like, if anything, if Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler should have lost it, it should have been to the Revival. I'm going to say that. I don't care how many times you guys yell at me and hate me for what I just said, but yeah. Because they could have had Braun Strowman do the same thing. Come after Drew McIntyre. You know? That's it. Because they weren't going to defend it at this pay-per-view Friday anyway. So, like, either way, nobody was going to defend it. So, well, I don't know what you guys, I want to know what you guys think about it personally. Because it's something, you know, like, it's like, all right, WWE, you got to sit down and you got to think about it. You're like, all right, WWE, what are you doing? Come on, grow up. Like, come on now. And we haven't had, like, a strong tag team in Raw, like AOP, in a while. So I'm excited for these guys. I'm a big fan of them. I love watching them every week. So, you know, they're a dominant team, but at the same time, I don't want to see WWE giving them losses as well. I mean, they did it the right way. Like, all right, we're going to double team these guys, and then, you know, it's us versus each other. I get that. But, man, WWE, get your head straight, please. Come on. Man. Talk about WWE Raw. This Crown Jewel event is going to be terrible, people. I'm going to watch it because, hey, I'm a WWE fan. You know? But this is going down the drain. No, we don't have, first of all, no Roman Reigns, right? It's not his fault. One thing, it's not his fault. So, I'm not mad at Roman Reigns. But John Cena and Daniel Bryan, are you... I'm not going to curse. Are you kidding me? What, you guys don't want to go? Why? Because you're scared they're going to snatch you up? Man. Oh, my goodness. I tell you what. If I had a chance, if I was a WWE superstar, I'd go. Because I'm a wrestler. It's my obligation. WWE had faith in me to put me in this card. And just because some things are going around, some things that happen, you're not going to go. Come on. So, it's, I don't know. It's a whole mess, people. It's a whole mess. Brock Lesnar, Braun Strowman set the Crown Jewel stage. Acting General Manager Baron Corbin opened the show with the vacant Universal Championship on his shoulder, bragging about how good the belt looked on him. Out came Brock Lesnar and advocate Paul Heyman with the latter guaranteeing a victory for Lesnar on Friday in Saudi Arabia. This is not a prediction, it's a spoiler, Heyman said. It's a clear guarantee that if the results were predetermined, out came Braun Strowman to promise Lesnar that he would get these hands. But after Corbin attempted to stop Strowman from getting in the face of Lesnar, Strowman pushed him and countered Corbin's attack with a power slam as Lesnar laughed. Strowman then hit a second power slam on Corbin, with the crowd cheering one more time and Lesnar laughing and pointing. Strowman closed with a third power slam. Lesnar finally snuck up from behind to hit Strowman with an F5 before walking off. Yeah, I know Strowman's gonna win. I hope not. I hope. I pray. I am praying, people, that WWE doesn't make the decision to give this title to Brock Lesnar when it's clear that Braun Strowman is the man for the job. Is the man for the job. No Roman Reigns. What's our plan B? It sure ain't Brock Lesnar, I'll tell you that. But you know who it is? It is the monster among men, Braun Strowman. Oh, yeah. Believe it. D-Generation X outsmarts the Brothers of Destruction. K Kane and Undertaker closed the broadcast by cutting an evil promo focused on their plans to take the souls of Triple H and Shawn Michaels and send them to the fiery gates of hell. In Saudi Arabia, it won't be swift, it will be slow, agonizing pain, Undertaker said. It will not just be the end of an era, it will be the end of your era. Triple H responded to Kane's challenge for a fight by coming out and pump faking that HBK was right behind him. Instead, Michael snuck up from behind on Taker inside the ring and laid them out with a sweet chin music. Before escaping, just as Kane came out running, D-Generation X closed with dual crotch chops before Taker sat up to end the show. I'm telling you, I keep saying it week and week and week and week and week again and again. I love this rivalry. I love it. If they were 10, 20 years younger and this would have happened when they were in their prime, you best believe everybody would love this. But yeah, you know, they're older now and it's like, why now, you know? I mean, it could still be entertaining. It's just not going to be how everybody wants it to be, you know what I mean? So, yeah, it's going to be, it's not a problem, but it's going to be like a bummer. Because I know everybody's would love to see them face each other if, like, oh, yeah, Taker's in his prime, Kane's in his prime, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, they're on there in their prime, you know? So I know that's what everybody really wants, but we will not be getting at all. Because people, you know, they're all old. The only one that we can say that can still move in that ring would be Triple H, and that's an understatement. So, our old, especially Undertaker, how he moves in the ring, you could tell it's not the same, you know, that's it. Like, to be honest, Undertaker, he's done, guys. He's done. And I hate to say it because, hell, growing up, man, Undertaker, I used to love him. Especially American Badass Undertaker. But, man, Undertaker, he's done, man. I remember watching the Undertaker's. Man, used to have some classic fights with Kurt Angle, The Rock. I remember that triple threat match, actually, with Kurt Angle and The Rock. Oh, man. Used to be amazing. Even then, when he turned back to the dead man, he was still, oh, man, this man used to get in that ring. He used to deal with them guys, man. And then, like, everything started going downhill when he lost to Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. So that's when things really just started getting worse for The Undertaker. We all knew it. Right there, you should retire. But if you have a love for the business, you know, you're not gonna retire. And then, after that, then, well, 2-3 years later, he loses. No, it was, yeah, I believe 2 years later. No, everybody's like, oh, Roman's going to get his ass beat by The Undertaker or whatever. And we got surprised there, too, because The Undertaker lost again. But when he faced John Cena, I was like, there's no way WWE is going to let him lose. And I'll tell you what, he didn't lose to John Cena. But that was ugly. Oh, man. And it was ugly. Real ugly for John Cena. But hey, sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do for the business, right? Let's keep on rolling, people. What else happened on Raw? Finn Balor defeated Bobby Lashley via disqualification. Leo Rush taunted Balor with a pre-match promo that called him lucky for his fluke win over Lashley last week. Rush then provided an annoying presence throughout the match by screaming Lashley into the microphone and constantly threatening interference. Twice, Rush shoved Balor off the top rope late to prevent the coup de grace, and the second time caught the referee's eyes for the DQ. Afterwards, Lashley beat Balor down and held back his arms as Rush repeatedly slapped and taunted him. John Cena ruled out of Crown Jewel. Shortly after Lashley's victory, he joined Rush in responding to Corbin's summoning to the trainer's room. After Corbin congratulated Lashley for beating up Balor, he named him the replacement for Cena at Friday's World Cup in Saudi Arabia. Although no reason was given behind Corbin's dismissive mention that Cena was someone who didn't qualify for the tournament, the news appears to concede with reports that Cena pulled out as a protest of WWE's involvement with Saudi Arabia amid heightening political tensions. Later on, Kurt Angle cut a video promising he isn't too old or crazy to win the tournament. The brackets were also released featuring the first round matchups: Seth Rollins versus Bobby Lashley, Angle versus Dolph Ziggler, The Miz versus Jeff Hardy, and Randy Orton versus Rey Mysterio. I'm gonna tell you what, Bobby Lashley didn't even win that match. They should have gave it to Finn Balor. This is my problem with WWE. Okay, Roman Reigns, he's gonna be out. It could be months, or it could be 1 to 3 years, people. So this is going to be 1 to 3 years. You got John Cena, who used to be the face of WWE. He's out now for Crown Jewel. So who do you put that other people love? You obviously. This is not a question. This is obvious, people. You obviously will put Finn Balor, who is over with the fans, because Bobby Lashley, he is crap, people. Everybody hates Bobby Lashley. Sorry to say it, but they do. I'm not a big fan of him. I love how he moves in the ring or whatever, but WWE needs to learn how to work with these wrestlers and putting Bobby Lashley to replace him against Seth Rollins? That's terrible. It's terrible. What I would do, to be honest, this is what I would do. I would put, correct me if I'm wrong. You could correct me if I'm wrong. I would put Finn Balor versus Seth Rollins. That would be the match of the night. Well, not the match, but the match of the tournament, because we have The Miz, Jeff Hardy versus Randy Orton. That could be, Randy Orton versus Rey Mysterio. Ooh, that's an old rivalry we used to see back in the day. The Miz versus Jeff Hardy. Angle versus Dolph Ziggler. No. Seth Rollins versus Finn Balor would be a hell of a match. And here's the thing is, you can either have Finn Balor interfere against that match, or you can either have Dean Ambrose. It's tough, people. But I really wouldn't mind seeing a Seth Rollins versus Jeff Hardy or Seth Rollins versus Rey Mysterio in the finals. Would not be bad. Lita, Trish Stratus, Natalya Bailey, and Sasha Banks defeated Mickie James, Alicia Fox, and the Riot Squad via submission in a 10-woman tag match. This one felt like a gracious greatest hits package for everything that happened the night before at WWE Evolution. The babyfaces took turns taking part in tandem moves and most repeated Sunday big spots, including an elbow drop from Bayley and another lead assault. The finish came on another retread as Natalya hit a heart attack on Fox to honor her late father, Jim the Anvil Neidhart, and forced the tap out via the sharpshooter. Elias defeated Jinder Mahal via pinfall. Elias opened on guitar by claiming he's the living truth and the truth shall set you free. He then looked for revenge on Corbin for attempting to sabotage his performance last week, which led to Elias backstage to look for him. After turning down Dana Brooke's request for a song, Elias played a tune outside of Corbin's dressing room with lyrics that mocked him. Mahal snuck up from behind to brutally attack him, including a running soccer kick to the face. Corbin instantly booked them for a match, and after commercial, Elias was forced to work from underneath as a newly churned face, despite interference from the Singh brothers. Elias won the match with a late rally and his drift away finisher. This is another person. I'd put Elias in the World Cup tournament. I'd do it. You know why? Because Elias is impressing the hell out of me. Ever since he stepped foot in the main roster the first day, this kid has been doing great things. He's impressing me. Hey. Soon the title shot will come to him. I can promise you that. We can either have Seth Rollins versus Dean Ambrose for the Intercontinental Championship or for the WWE World Heavyweight, the Universal Championship. But, I don't know. I don't know what WWE is going to do there. Unless, like, Seth Rollins retains and then he defends it against someone. And then he defends it against someone and Dean Ambrose interferes and then costs Seth Rollins, or Dean Ambrose or Seth Rollins wins the Royal Rumble. Something will happen, you know. Unless they want to go with Braun Strowman going into WrestleMania, you know. Facing maybe a Drew McIntyre. I don't know, people. Nia Jax versus Ember Moon Nia Jax defeated Ember Moon via pinfall. This match was booked earlier in the night when Jax took issue with Moon getting asked too many questions during a backstage interview and went on to accept Moon's challenge. The two former friends continued to break apart as Jax largely dominated despite a dangerous Swanton Bomb on the floor from Moon off the top rope. The match was interrupted late by Tamina Snuka's music, causing both wrestlers to stop and stare. Jax then caught Moon with a sneaky elbow and pinned her after a leg drop. Snuka and Jax went nose to nose before Snuka smiled and walked off. Okay. Kalisto and Lince Dorado defeated the Revival via pinfall. This random appearance from the 205's live Lucha House Party featured some fun spots, including a suicide dive from Dorado. The brief match came to a close when Kalisto hit a Salido de Sol and Scott Dawson for the pin just as Dorado hit a flying crossbody to intercept Dashwalder's attempt to run in. A strong pre-match promo saw Ziggler initially give respect for Angle ahead of Friday's World Cup, saying he looked up to him for most of his life as an amateur wrestler, but the turn back to heel came quick as Ziggler reminded he's the best damn thing that's ever happened to this business. I am the best in the world. The match saw Cruz get a good run of early offense and a near fall following a press slam and a standing moonsault as part of his recent push, but Cruz could only find a pair of knees on a frog splash attempt from the top rope, and Ziggler followed with a super kick for the win. I'm interested to see what WWE does there. I could see Kurt Angle get the win, to be honest, guys, against Dolph Ziggler. I don't think WWE will go and give Dolph Ziggler the tournament win. Like I said, now that Dean Ambrose kind of turned his back on Seth Rollins, it's not going to be Seth Rollins. I have to go with Jeff Hardy or Rey Mysterio. I definitely got to go with, man. This is crazy. I mean, I hope, like, now that there's some superstars out or whatever, I mean, I hope it can still live up to its potential. Like, I don't want it to, like, suck now, because John Cena, Daniel Bryan, Roman Reigns, they're not going to be in it. So, like, when Roman Reigns won't be a part of it, I was like, okay, well, John Cena. You know, we got John Cena. We got Daniel Bryan. They'll definitely steal the show. And then now there's no John Cena or Daniel Bryan. So hopefully somebody is going to have to steal the show. Let's talk about WWE SmackDown. Crown Jewel WWE title plans rearranged. The WWE champion Styles made his way down to the ring to kick off the Crown Jewel Go Home edition of SmackDown to a rousing ovation in his home state of Georgia. The champ said there was something he needed to get off his chest, but he wants to say it to his opponent's face. He then called Bryan out to the ring. Styles offered up an apology for the miscommunication that took place last week and their tag team bout loss. But Bryan said there was no need. However, while he respects Styles both in and out of the ring, all Bryan sees when he looks at Styles right now is the WWE Championship. Bryan said that it's nothing personal, but this Friday at Crown Jewel, he's taking the title. Styles then made a revelation that the Pele kick last week to Bryan was by no means an accident, and he looks forward to doing it again. Bryan, looking none too surprised, countered that by telling Styles he feels like punching him in the face right now. And the champ said that he has no issue with defending the title against Bryan right here tonight. Shane McMahon made his way out, and the SmackDown commissioner said that oftentimes when two men want to go at it in the heat of the moment, nothing ever really comes out of it. Well, that's changing. McMahon announced that the WWE Crown Jewel WWE Championship match would be taking place to open SmackDown this week. WWE Championship AJ Styles retained the title against Daniel Bryan in what was an incredible match, as if you expected anything remotely less from these two. Styles made Bryan tap to the calf crusher after working an injured knee all match. This following a reversal of a triangle choke into a Styles clash. Afterwards, the two longtime friends and rivals hugged each other in the middle of the ring, but the drama didn't end there. Out of nowhere, Samoa Joe, who has been absent recently with an indisclosed injury, blindsided Styles and wrapped him in the coquina clutch. Bryan attempted to save Styles, but Joe locked him in the coquina clutch as well. Joe stood tall with the WWE Championship as Styles and Bryan were laid out on the mat. Thanks to him, later in the night, Styles approached general manager Paige backstage and demanded Joe at Crown Jewel. And while he was met with slight hesitation, Paige eventually obligated. Becky Lynch fires the first shot. The SmackDown Women's Champion made her way down to the ring and opened by simply stating, "I won," referring to her victory over Charlotte Flair at Evolution in the classic Last Woman Standing match. Beating Flair proved that she is the man, and that sent a message to both the SmackDown locker room as well as the Raw locker room. Lynch told Survivor Series opponent Ronda Rousey that every woman she stepped into the ring with was beaten before the bell rang. "But that's not how she's built," Lynch says. "That she has traveled the world to smash people like Rousey. She's not here to cosplay or become a reality star. And come Survivor Series, she's going to take Rousey's arm." Like I said, people, Becky Lynch, she is the face of the women's division. I'm telling you, Ronda Rousey's first loss will come as Survivor Series to Becky Lynch. I'm telling you guys right now. You might not believe me, but trust me, it's going to happen. It will happen. Paige makes Charlotte Flair an offer. In a backstage segment, Flair met with the SmackDown general manager. Paige praised Flair's Last Woman Standing match with Lynch at Evolution and then offered up the opportunity to be the captain of the SmackDown Women's Team at Survivor Series. Flair would decline the offer, however, still looking dejected from the loss to Lynch on Sunday. Paige asked her to reconsider, reminding Charlotte that she once said, don't let success get to your head, and don't let failure get to your heart. Big E defeated Cesaro via pinfall, trick or street fight. Big E got the pinfall amid a ring full of pumpkins after the big ending and the hilarious twist. New Day's entrance involved the trio emerging as the Brood. Amazing theme music and all. And because we're keeping tabs, still no explanation from Big Show as to why he's aligned with the Bar. Check back next week. I love that they came out as the Brood. I really do. Big fan of them as a kid growing up. And still no explanation from Big Show. I don't think we're going to get one anytime soon, obviously. But this is an interesting feud, though. You know, equal numbers. It's just going to get better, people. World Cup twist. McMahon met backstage with the SmackDown World Cup participants and revealed quite the twist to the tournament for the Blue brand this Friday. After Rey Mysterio, Jeff Hardy, The Miz, and Randy Orton were done drawing with each other, McMahon revealed that should one of them end up losing in the final World Cup bout on Friday, then that competitor will lose their job on SmackDown. Wow. So if they lose their job on SmackDown, guess where they're going? Monday Night Raw. Huh. This is interesting. Very interesting. We're going to have to wait and see. United States Championship was on the line. Shinsuke Nakamura defeated R-Truth. This bout was scheduled to be Nakamura defending against Ty Dillinger, but just as before SmackDown aired, it was announced that Dillinger was out with a hand injury. Truth took his place and ultimately fell to the Kinshasa. To be honest, I would love Ty Dillinger as champ. But let's say he won't be able to fight for a couple months. Like an injury gets worse. You better give it to my boy, R-Truth. Give him one more title run, WWE. One more title in WWE. Just give them. Rey Mysterio and Jeff Hardy defeated Randy Orton and The Miz via pinfall. The finish came via a 619 to Miz from Mysterio, followed by a swanton from Hardy. Afterwards, Orton laid everyone out, including his partner, Miz, with an RKO to stand tall and end the show. If you guys are surprised what Orton did, I'm surprised you guys are surprised, because I ain't surprised about it. That's what Randy Orton does, people. Randy Orton lays people out. So don't be surprised. Please don't. Let's talk about prediction for Crown Jewel this Friday. Starts at 12, I want to say, but I'll check for you guys. Okay, so here's a rumor killer. WWE Crown Jewel is coming up this Friday, and plenty of fans aren't happy about the event. There was a lot of problems with the show, even outside of a political context. As well, since Roman Reigns was forced to take a medical leave of absence so he can beat leukemia once again. But one rumored match change was never a consideration. The story popped up in the theory that Drew McIntyre could be added to the Universal title match at Crown Jewel. This might make sense in regards to giving Strowman someone to pin that he's feuding with and keeping the match a triple threat idea. But apparently that was not the case at all. Brad Shepherd has confirmed, though, a source in WWE, that there was never any consideration of placing McIntyre in the Universal title match of WWE Crown Jewel. Of course, this doesn't mean that he won't be next in line to take on Braun Strowman if he's able to bring home the big red belt, because they still have unfinished business, but the plan wasn't for this match to receive that much of a facelift so close to the show. WWE needed to switch up enough things for Crown Jewel before, from placing Samoa Joe in the WWE Championship match and pulling John Cena from the event, but there wasn't a time when Drew McIntyre was even penciled into the spot. Well, there you go, people. It was never thought about that. They would have Drew McIntyre in the Universal Championship match. So, I mean, it's good. Just let Braun Strowman win, and then we then we focus on the Braun Strowman and McIntyre deal. But let's talk about this real quick. WWE Crown Jewel matches. My predictions start right now. We have Triple H and Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker and Kane. I'm going to go with the Brothers of Destruction. I say they get the win. I say they win, yeah. I got that. Universal Championship will be on the line. We have Brock Lesnar versus Braun Strowman. I say Braun Strowman will become the new Universal Champion. WWE World Heavyweight Championship will be on the line. We have AJ Styles versus Samoa Joe. I got Samoa Joe. I say Samoa Joe becomes the new WWE World Heavyweight Championship. So, I mean, I think it's time for a new champion. And who better than Samoa Joe? SmackDown Tag Team Championships will be on the line. We got The Bar versus the New Day. I said The Bar is going to retain. Help, obviously, the Big Show will be there. So, but definitely The Bar will win. The WWE World Cup Tournament to determine the best in the world. I'm going to do it bracket by bracket. I want to say Seth Rollins beats Bobby Lashley. Kurt Angle beats Dolph Ziggler. Jeff Hardy beats The Miz. Oh, no. How about this? Jeff Hardy beats The Miz. Rey Mysterio beats Randy Orton. Rey Mysterio beats Jeff Hardy. Seth Rollins beats Kurt Angle. And Rey Mysterio beats Seth Rollins. I mean, Kurt Angle beats Seth Rollins because help from Dean Ambrose. And Rey Mysterio beats Kurt Angle. The Cruiserweight Championship will be on the line. Hold up. After jumping, starting. All right. This match is not on the card yet, but it could end up getting there. So, if it is Cruiserweight Championship, Buddy Murphy versus Cedric Alexander, I would say Buddy Murphy retains his championship. Like I said, it's still hasn't been announced, but if it is, there you guys go. It can live up to, you know, its potential. We have to wait and see come Friday. And matter of fact, after I say the WWE rumors, I'm going to look up the schedule for what time does it start. Excuse me. All right, so we have early advertisements for December 16th. TLC have top matches as Dean Ambrose versus Seth Rollins for the Intercontinental Championship, Ronda Rousey versus Nia Jax for the Raw Women's Championship, and Braun Strowman versus Drew McIntyre. Obviously, if Braun Strowman wins, and when he does, it will be Strowman versus McIntyre for the Universal Championship. Before John Cena backed out of Crown Jewel, the World Cup field wasn't going to be sorted by Raw and SmackDown. According to PW Insider, this is the decision was made so the final could swerve as a preview of Survivor Series. While they look to be done for now, Trish Stratus and Lita are expected back in 2019. Insider says there were plans at one point for Team Bestie at WrestleMania 35. So look out for that. We might see Lita and Trish on the road to WrestleMania. Even though it didn't happen at Evolution, there's still talk of women tag titles, especially after reports WWE officials were handing out the We Want Women's Tag Championships sign seen at the pay-per-view. So that's something we have to look for. You guys know I'm very big on that, on the tag titles, the women tag titles in WWE. I really want that to happen. So hopefully, eventually it'll happen. Maybe before WrestleMania or in WrestleMania. I think it'll happen before, though. so the woman to have a chance, you know. The ankle injury Shayna Baszler suffered at Evolution was minor. According to Dave Messler on Wrestling Observer Live, she's not expected to miss TakeOver War Games. So that's good news there. All right, let's go to hockey, people. It's hockey time. Right, talked about, oh wait, I did tell you I was going to look up the, sorry about that. Let me look up WWE Crown Jewel start time. Crown Jewel start time. These people, it's supposed to be exciting. Also, Hulk Hogan is being advertised for this, so might see Hulk Hogan, might not. There will be a one-hour kickoff show beginning on Friday morning at 10. That's Central Time. The actual event will start at 11 Central Time. And then, obviously, if you're Eastern, the kickoff show will be at 11. And at 12 o'clock, it starts at 12. So, let's go to NHL. NHL. Let's talk about some games. Here we go. Starting from Saturday. Oh, no. Let me start for Friday because I think I did the podcast Friday. Lightning beat Golden Knights 3-2. Hurricanes beat the Sharks 4-3. The Jets beat the Red Wings 2-1. The Avalanche beat the Senators 6-3. The Devils beat the Panthers on Saturday 3-2. Icelanders beat the Flyers 6-1. The Oilers beat the Predators 5-3. The Capitals beat the Flames 4-3. The Canadiens beat the Bruins 3-0. The Maple Leafs beat the Jets 3-2. The Blue Jacks beat the Sabres 5-4. The Wild beat the Avalanche 3-2. The Blues beat the Blackhawks 7-3. The Coyotes beat the Lightning 7-1. The Penguins beat the Canucks 5-0. Sunday, the Kings beat the Rangers 4-3. The Islanders beat the Hurricanes 2-1. The Red Wings beat the Stars 4-2. The Oilers beat the Blackhawks 2-1. The Sharks beat the Ducks 4-3. The Golden Knights beat the Senators 4-3. Monday, the Flames beat the Maple Leafs 3-1. The Canucks beat the Wild 5-2. Yesterday, we had the Islanders beat the Penguins 6-3. The Flames beat the Sabres 2-1. The Bruins beat the Hurricanes 3-2. The Red Wings beat the Blue Jackets 5-3. The Lightning beat the Devils 8-3. The Stars beat the Canadiens 4-1. The Predators beat the Golden Knights 4-1. The Wild beat the Oilers 4-3. The Flyers beat the Ducks 3-2. The Coyotes beat the Senators 5-1. The Rangers beat the Sharks 4-3. And today at 10 p.m., we have the Blackhawks versus the Canucks. That's the only game. Tomorrow, starting at 2, we have the Jets versus the Panthers. Stars versus Maple Leafs at 7. Penguins versus Islanders. Devils versus Red Wings at 7:30. Sabres versus Senators. Capitals versus Canadiens. Predators versus Lightning. At 8 o'clock, we have the Golden Knights versus the Blues. At 9 o'clock, we have the Blackhawks versus the Oilers. Avalanche versus the Flames. At 10 o'clock, Rangers versus Ducks. 10:30, we have the Flyers and the Kings. The Blue Jackets and the Sharks. Friday, we have the Panthers and the Jets at 2. Avalanche and the Canucks at 10. And the Hurricanes and the Coyotes. Saturday, we have the Senators and the Sabres at 2. Stars and the Capitals at 7. Oilers and the Red Wings. The Devils versus the Islanders. The Maple Leafs versus the Penguins. The Lightning versus the Canadiens. The Wild versus the Blues at 8. Bruins versus the Predators. At 10, we have the Blackhawks versus the Flames. The Hurricanes versus Golden Knights. At 10:30, we have the Kings versus the Blue Jackets. The Flyers versus the Sharks. Sunday, we have the Lightning versus the Senators at 7. Sabres versus Rangers. Bluehawks versus Ducks at 9. Monday, we have the Devils versus the Penguins. Stars versus the Bruins, all at 7. Oilers versus Capitals. Canadians versus Islanders. And at 9, we have the Flyers versus the Coyotes. Tuesday, we have the Canadians versus Rangers. Stars versus Black Jackets. Golden Knights versus Maple Leafs. Devils versus Senators at 7:30. Canucks versus Red Wings. Oilers versus Lightning. At 8, we have the Hurricanes versus the Blues. Ducks versus the Kings at 10:30. And the Wild and the versus the Shark. Wednesday, we have the Penguins versus the Capital. Predators versus the Avalanche. And the Flames versus the Ducks. Penguins at Capital 7:30. Predators Avalanche at 10. And Flames and Ducks at 10:30 Wednesday. Okay, people. Let's go to MLB, people. We have new World Series champions. Yes, that means I was wrong. We didn't even get close to a Game 7. Well, not we, because I'm not a Dodgers fan, but I had the Dodgers to win it in 7. But before we get to that, Rockies to the Klein Club option on Geraldo Pereira. 2019 MLB draft order is set. All right, here we go. We have the Baltimore, the first pick, Baltimore Orioles. Second, the Royals. Third, the White Sox. Fourth, the Marlins. Fifth, the Tigers. Sixth, the Padres. Seventh, the Reds. The eighth is the Rangers. The ninth is the Braves. 10th is the Giants. 11th, Jays. 12th, Mets. 13th, Twins. 14th, Phillies. 15th, Angels. 16th, Diamondbacks. 17th, Nationals. 18th, Pirates. 19th, Cardinals. 20th, Mariners. 21st, the Braves. Rays have the 22. 23rd is the Rockies. Indians have the 24th. Dodgers have the 25th. Diamondbacks have the 26th. The Cubs have the 27th. The Brewers have the 28th. The A's have the 29th. The Yankees have the 30th. The Dodgers have the 31st. The Astros have the 32nd. And the Red Sox have the 33rd. That is this draft pick, the draft order for this year. Let me see what else we have here. Boston Red Sox, Los Angeles Dodgers, World Series ratings went down. Ouch. Let's talk about the early 2018-2019 free agency contract predictions for each top star. Let's get to it, people. Let me see. Starting pitcher, J.A. Happ. 36 years old. He is 36. Ooh. 36, J.A. Happ. Let me see. They don't say the teams, but they just say, like, his contract prediction will be 3 years, $39 million. Josh Donaldson, third baseman, 32 years of age. 2 years, $40 million, opt out after 1 year. Right fielder, Andrew McCutchen, 3 years, $48 million. Craig Kimbrough, right-handed pitcher. 3 years, $54 million. Nathan Eovaldi, starting pitcher. 4 years, $60 million. Michael Brantley, left fielder. 4 years, $64 million. Starting pitcher, Dallas Keuchel. 4 years, $84 million. Patrick Corbin, starting pitcher. 5 years, $110 million. Bryce Harper, my man, 26 years old. 6 years, $216 million. Opt out after 3 years. My other boy, shortstop, third baseman, Manny Machado. 8 years, $280 million. Opt out after 5 years. That's, wow. Okay. lot to think about, people, you know. You have the free agency is going to be coming up. You got the draft coming up. Got a whole bunch of stuff coming up for MLB that we have to be aware of. David Price announced he will not opt out of Red Sox contract. I mean, who would, man? You just won the World Series and you played great in the playoffs. Who would? Who would? All right. Let's talk about this awful World Series. Last time I left off, I talked about the 18 innings. Okay, so Saturday, the Red Sox beat the Dodgers 9-6. Another game the Dodgers should have won, but the pitching did not live up to its potential. The Red Sox beat the Dodgers 5-1 to claim the World Series championships. It was a pretty easy World Series for the Red Sox, except just for that one game that went to 18 innings. But besides that, it was fairly easy for the Red Sox in the World Series. So, man. So, let's talk about some NBA news. All right, let me see. Jimmy Butler of Minnesota Timberwolves to rest versus Jazz, but that's not the that's not the best part. The best part is that he's not just resting. He will sit out until the Timberwolves trade him. There's no fixing this Timberwolves. Just trade the man to the Rockets, to the Thunder, to the Lakers, to the Clippers. To the wherever, the Sixers, I don't know, wherever you want to trade this man, wherever best fits you, you trade him. Because there's no fixing it. That's it. No fixing it at all. Friday, the Hornets beat the Bulls 135-106. The Warriors beat the Knicks 128-100. The Raptors beat the Mavericks 116-107. The Bucks beat the Timberwolves 125-95. The Clippers beat the Rockets 133-113. The Pelicans beat the Nets 117-115. The Kings beat the Wizards 116-112. The Jazz beat the Pelicans on Saturday 132-111. Celtics beat the Pistons 109-89. The 76ers beat the Hornets 105-103. The Bulls beat the Hawks 97-85. The Pacers beat the Cavaliers 119-107. The Heat beat the Trailblazers 120-111. The Grizzlies beat the Suns 117-96. The Bucks beat the Magic 113-91. The Spurs beat the Lakers 110-106. Sunday, the Warriors beat the Nets 120-114. The Jazz beat the Mavericks 113-104. The Thunder beat the Suns 117-110. The Clippers defeated the Wizards 136-104. Monday, the Trailblazers beat the Pacers 103-93. 76ers beat the Hawks 113-92. The Kings beat the Heat 123-113. The Knicks beat the Nets 115-96. The Timberwolves beat the Lakers 124-120. The Warriors dominated the Bulls 149-124 with Klay Thompson beating Steph Curry's record of threes with 14 threes in a game. The Bucks beat the Raptors 124-109. The Spurs beat the Mavericks 113-108. The Nuggets beat the Pelicans 116-111. Yesterday, the Hornets beat the Heat 125-113. The Cavaliers beat the Hawks 136-114. The Kings beat the Magic 107-99. The Celtics beat the Pistons 108-105. The Raptors beat the 76ers 129-112. The Trailblazers beat the Rockets 104-85. The Grizzlies beat the Wizards 107-95. The Thunder beat the Clippers 128-110. Today, starting at 7:30, games will begin. We have the Pistons versus the Nets. At 8 o'clock, we have the Pacers versus Knicks. 8 o'clock, we have Nuggets versus Bulls, the Jazz versus Timberwolves. And 10:30, we have the Mavericks versus Lakers. Spurs versus Suns, and the Pelicans versus the Warriors. Tomorrow we have the starting at 7. We have the Clippers versus the 76ers, Nuggets versus Cavaliers, Thunder versus Hornets. 7:30, we have the Kings versus the Hawks. 8 o'clock, Bucks versus Celtics. Pelicans versus Trailblazers. Friday, we have the Clippers versus the Magic starting at 7. 7:30, Rockets versus Nets. 8 o'clock, Thunder versus Wizards. Pacers versus Bulls. Knicks versus Mavericks at 8:30. Grizzlies versus Jazz at 9. 10 o'clock, we have Raptors versus Suns. And 10:30, Timberwolves versus Warriors. Saturday, we have the Pistons versus the 76ers at 1, Cavaliers versus Hornets at 7, Celtics versus Pacers at 7, Heat versus Hawks at 7:30, Rockets versus Bulls at 8 o'clock, Pelicans versus Spurs at 8:30, Jazz versus Nuggets at 9, Lakers versus Trailblazers at 10. Sunday, we have the Kings versus the Bucks at 3:30, 76ers versus the Nets at 6, Knicks versus Wizards at 6, Magic versus Spurs at 7, Grizzlies versus Suns at 8, Timberwolves versus Trailblazers at 9, Raptors versus Lakers at 9:30. Monday, we have the Rockets versus the Pacers at 7 o'clock, Cavaliers versus Magic at 7 o'clock, Heat versus Pistons, Bulls versus Knicks at 7:30, Pelicans versus Thunder at 8, Celtics versus Nuggets at 9, Raptors versus Jazz at 9, Grizzlies versus Warriors at 10:30, and Timberwolves versus Clippers at 10:30. Tuesday, we have the Hawks versus the Hornets at 7, Wizards versus Mavericks at 8:30, Nets versus Suns at 9, Bucks versus Trailblazers at 10. Wednesday, we have the Pistons versus Magic at 7, Thunder versus Cavaliers, Knicks versus Hawks at 7:30, Spurs versus Heat at 7:30, Bulls versus Pelicans at 8, Nuggets versus Grizzlies, 76ers versus Pacers. At 9 o'clock, we have Mavericks versus Jazz. 10 o'clock, we have the Raptors versus the Kings. Timberwolves versus Lakers at 10:30. That's through Wednesday, people. Busy schedule. Should be pretty good games. Not all of them, though, because obviously when you're facing the Warriors, facing a team like that, there's no way you're going to win. You could win, but it's going to be pretty hard. Let's talk about NFL, but before we talk about the games from last week and the games of this week, let's talk about the trades that happened in 2018, people. 2018. Le'Veon Bell could not get traded. But here it is. Clinton Dix got traded to the Redskins for a 2019 fourth round pick. Defensive end Dante Fowler Jr. got traded to the Rams for the 2019 third round pick and the 2020 fifth round pick. Ty Montgomery got traded to the Ravens after fumbling a 2020 seventh round pick. Oh my God, I said fumbling. Oh, wow. Wide receiver Golden Tate got traded to the Philadelphia Eagles for the 2019 third-round pick. Demaryius Thomas got traded to the Texans for the 2019 fourth-round pick. Swap of seventh-round picks. DT Damon Harrison from the Giants got traded to the Lions for a 2019 fifth-round pick. Cornerback Eli Apple got traded to the Saints for a 2019 fourth-round pick and a 2020 seventh-round pick. Wide receiver Amari Cooper got traded to the Cowboys for a 2019 first-round pick. Running back Carlos Hyde got traded to the Jaguars for a 2019 fifth-round pick. And wide receiver Josh Gordon and a 2019 seventh-round pick got traded to the Patriots for a 2019 fifth-round pick. Wow. Golden Tate was a great acquisition for the Eagles, but the Texans definitely won that, getting Demaryius Thomas. Now, Deshaun Watson got Demaryius Thomas, and with Fuller out, you got Demaryius Thomas and DeAndre Hopkins in the mix. So that's crazy. Le'Veon Bell could not get traded. I'll tell you guys why right now. Give me a sec. I have to pass it up. But, yeah. So, he's either going to play with the Steelers or he's just going to sit out this season and wait to free agency. You know what I mean? So, I mean, if I am Le'Veon Bell, I would play, but it says Le'Veon Bell didn't sign his tender, so Steelers are stuck with and without him. Running back Le'Veon Bell didn't report to the Philadelphia. Pittsburgh Steelers on Tuesday to sign his franchise tender, so the Steelers couldn't trade him. A little more than a month ago, there was a report that Pittsburgh was listening to trade offers for the two-time first-team All-Pro, but any and all talks were contingent on Bell signing his tender to make a move possible. Now that the trade deadline has passed, if Bell wants to play in 2018, it can only be with Pittsburgh. Earlier Tuesday, when the Steelers coach Mike Tomlin met with media, he was asked if he expected to see Bell in the team facility this week. Tomlin smiled, looked around the room, and said, "Any other questions?" It's a whole problem with Le'Veon Bell and the Steelers right now. But what I tell you, Le'Veon Bell, I wouldn't go play. You're not starting, buddy. James Conner is having a hell of a season. So just sit out. Go to free agency. You'll get a team there. But other than that, oh, man. Forget about it. And it's sad. It's very sad. You would have signed that tender. You would have got traded. Definitely would have got traded to a team that would have wanted you and probably would have paid you. So week 8 scheduled. The Texans beat the Dolphins 42-23. The Eagles beat the Jaguars 24-18. The Panthers beat the Ravens 36-21. The Chiefs beat the Broncos 30-23. The Steelers beat the Browns 33-18. The Seahawks beat the Lions 28-14. The Bengals beat the Buccaneers 37-34. The Bears beat the Jets 24-10. The Redskins beat the Giants 20-13. The Colts beat the Raiders 42-28. The Cardinals beat the 49ers 18-15. Rams beat the Packers 29-27. The Saints beat the Vikings 30-20. And the Patriots beat the Bills 25-26. Week 9 schedule coming up starting tomorrow. We have the Raiders versus 49ers. Falcons versus Redskins on Sunday at 1 o'clock. Lions versus Vikings. Steelers versus Ravens. Chiefs versus Browns. Jets versus Dolphins. Bears versus Bills. Buccaneers versus Panthers. At 4 o'clock, Chargers versus Seahawks. Texans versus Broncos. Rams versus Saints. Packers versus Patriots at Sunday Night Football at 8:20. And Monday Night Football at 8:15, we have the Titans versus the Cowboys. A couple teams on bye. I will tell you who they are right now. Give me a second. So here it is. We have the Arizona Cardinals, the Green Bay Packers. The Green Bay Packers. No, sorry. Wrong schedule. Hold on, guys. Okay, people. So the bye week that we have the Cincinnati Bengals, the Arizona Cardinals, the Indianapolis Colts, the Philadelphia Eagles, the New York Giants, and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Some big teams that have a bye week. We have the Eagles, the Jaguars, and the Bengals. So, yeah. And, like, the Eagles, they may trade. Jaguars may trade. Having a bye week, you know, they get to game plan for another week. You know what I mean? So, well, I hope you guys enjoyed the show. Enjoy your candy while you're at it. Happy Halloween. And have a great Halloween. Don't stay out too late. Be safe. And I hope you guys enjoyed the AB show. Go check my Instagram account, After the Whistle, with two E's. I always post every day, every night. Sometimes it's late, but you guys, I hope you guys still enjoy it. You guys enjoy my content. And if you guys are interested in my music, my comedy, whatever, go to Ant_Boogie, Ant_Boogie
and you'll hear my lyrics, my music, my comedy. You'll get it all. I'm out.